Okay, so we're holding Daf Chaf Hei Amabez by the two dots around 60% of the way down the page. Batizam Chasham Navshi Nashisi Teva. So this is talking about the Yirmiyahu Navi in Eicha. He says, he references the fact that his nefesh is has disappeared from Shalom, from having peace, and he's forgotten about having teva. What does that mean? My v'tizach l'shav shalom nafshi, amr bevo, zu adlak azer Shabbos. This is referring to adlak azer Shabbos, that he's despaired of having adlak azer Shabbos. He misses adlak azer Shabbos. Nashisi teva, I've forgotten goodness, amr b'yirmiya zu beis ha-merchatz. Forgetting goodness means forgetting the benefits of a beis ha-merchatz. Beis ha-merchatz provides a healthy, health benefits for the entire body. So he's lamenting the fact that he lost nashisi teva. So it's interesting, we're going to Pasuk and Eicha that references missing of Neris to let us appreciate the beauty of Halakha, of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. Amar, the gears we have is Amar Beichran, Zurichit Yadayim Vaglayim B'chamin. No, it's not referring to the Beis HaMerchas in general, it's referring to just washing hands and face, hands and feet with warm water, which we said is a chiv to do on Erev Shabbos, a mitzvah to do on Erev Shabbos. Rebitzik Nafkaimer, Zu Mita Nova Kelim Noam Shaleh, it refers to having a nice bed and having nice kelim, nice sheets on top of that bed. Rab Amar Zumita Mitzas, Fisha Bukateshas Latamindicham. This refers to a bed that's made and a wife that's Mekushtas means she's adorned with like makeup and she's fit for a Talmud Chacham, meaning she's fit to be the wife of an Ashes Talmud Chacham. The Mefarshim explained the significance of what does that have to do with this Pasuk. Again, this Pasuk is referring to lighting candles Friday night. It's referring to washing oneself Beis HaMerchatz Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. And we know Talmud Chacham used to be Mishamish Mitasai. He has Chiv Aina was from Shabbos to Shabbos on Friday nights. So therefore, it's specifically referring to, in this context, having the bed prepared with the wife of a Talmud Chacham and all the Shabbos preparations. He was lamenting the fact that he missed that normal setup. Tarabban. Eza Ashir. Right? Once we touch on the topic of different goodness that were referenced in Eicha that were missing, so the goes into the topics of the goodness of wealth. Eza Ashir. What's considered an Ashir? Mar is going to make four shitas. Kol sheish nachas ruach b'ashrei tiver meir. Whoever has nachas ruach, whoever has pleasure in his wealth, this very similarly mimics the Mishnah, Ezo Asher, hasameich b'chalka, one is happy with his lot. So whoever has pleasure with his wealth, that is a Asher according to Rameir. Simen matas kas, now the Gemara gives a simen for the four Tanayim offering an interpretation of what's considered an Asher. Rav Tafan Amar Kol Sheish Lemei Kramim. What's an Asher? Someone has 100 vineyards, Mei Asadas, 100 fields, Mei Avadim, 100 slaves, Shayv Nemem, that work in those said fields, in those vineyards. Rav Akiva Amar Kol Sheish Leisha Nava Maisim. Rav Akiva says, whoever has a wife who's beautiful in her Maisim, in a Maisim Taivim, she has good actions, good deeds. Rav Yesi Amar, fourth Malach, Kol Sheish Lebeis HaKisei, Samuch Shulchanai, a wealthy person, someone who has a Beis HaKisei, a washroom near his Shulchan. So there's a few malachim in the Achreinim, what the significance of these four Tanaim's explanation of what wealth is. You have the Maritz Chis explains that each Tana's explanation, very interesting, and there's actually been more recently Svarim or English books that explore the different Tanaim and their what we know about them from the Talmud, from Braises, from other Mamar Chazal, and how we can extrapolate what we know about them to what their opinions were in certain scenarios. Maritz Chai says this Gemara is a case where all four Tanayim's explanation of Ashiris related to their own life circumstances. Rameir was a safer. Rameir, the Gemara tells elsewhere, I think used to charge a couple of coins for every job that he did. And as being a safer sometimes could take a long time for per job. So Rameir essentially did not have a lot of money. Rameir's a safer, did not have a lot of money, says Maritz Chis. And he said, what's an Asher? Hasameach b'chalkai. Someone has pleasure for what he has. You don't have to have a lot of money to be happy. Asher, someone's happy with what he has. Rav Tarfin, the Gemara tells elsewhere, was a very wealthy man. So Rav Tarfin gives a very large Guzma, a large explanation of what it means to be wealthy, because a man who has a lot of money, he sees what's considered wealthy differently than someone who doesn't have money. Rabbi Akiva, we know, has very little money, but what did Rabbi Akiva have? He had the ultimate Eishes Chayil. His wife, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us Rabbi Akiva made from like him and his wife were living literally. Kalba Sabu threw them out because she married an Amaretz, and they were living in the hay, and he made her some sort of Yushalayim, a tzura out of hay, and he said, I wish I could give you one shazav, because I have no money, I wish I could give you something better, and she was totally fine with it. Then, of course, not only did she not have money for the Rabbi Akiva, she let him go to Beis Medrash and learn for 24 years with Talmidim, and let him leave her alone without money and without companionship. So she was the ultimate Yishchayel. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know what Ashiris is? Kol sheyesh lei isha na b'maisim. Someone who has a wife who's na b'maisim, it's Rabbi Akiva in his own life. And Rabbi Yasi Again, Rabbi Yossi was someone that wasn't necessarily someone who had a lot of funds. But Rabbi Yossi elsewhere says that when the Gemara describes different types of people, he said, "I want to be in the group of people, if I'm going to have a chayla, to be in the group of people, a chayla ma'ayim, sick of the stomach, because going to the washroom often apparently is considered a healthy thing." We actually had it in Brachas. We had, I think it was a Rebbe who used to stop off by, he had 24 different Beis Akises on the way to the, between him and the Beis Medrash, he stopped by each one. So Rabbi Yossi said, "I want to be for the Chayim Ayim." Rabbi Yossi says, "What's a secret to wealth? Having a washroom next to where, back in the day, you used to have to go far out to the washroom. Having a washroom close by to where you eat is a good source for being healthy." So these are four Tanaim, according to Maratz Chiyas, we're saying, based on their life circumstances, different explanations of wealth. The Marsha says a little bit different. The Marsha says there's different reasons why a person would strive to be wealthy. A person can strive to be wealthy because he wants covet. He wants to be in high society. A person can strive to be wealthy because he's concerned that supporting his wife will cost him a lot of money. He wants to make sure he has enough money to support his wife. Or a person could want to have a lot of money because right now he's capable, he's working. Who knows, one day he may not be capable, may not be physically able to work, so he wants to have enough money saved for the future in a case where he doesn't have the ability to work. So based on this, Marshal explains, that is the Malcham of the Tanaim. Nothing to do with their personal circumstances, but they're all coming to speak out against these, or to explain against these different concepts. The first one, let's go out of order. Reb Tarfon, he was talking to the person who wants to have money because of wealth, because of covet, because he wants to be high society. Reb Tarfon says, a guzma, you know what's called wealthy? Whatever you have, ayav kesef liyispa kesef. No matter how much money you have, you're going to always want more. And therefore, you think money is going to bring you covet and bring you happiness. Reb Tarfon says, you know what wealth is? 100 fields, 100 vineyards, 100 slaves, which is, of course, an exorbitant amount of money and wealth, and most people want to attain it. So he's trying to say that no matter how much you want, you're going to want more, and therefore don't go after this taiva of trying to have as much money as possible. Rabbi Akiva was coming to dissuade the person who's concerned that he has to have a lot of money because of supporting his wife, because his wife is going to have a lot of needs. Rabbi Akiva said, so find yourself a wife who's ma'isa manoim, who's not focused on gashmias, who's more focused on ruchnias. That's what Rabbi Akiva is coming to dissuade. Rabbi Yossi was coming to dissuade the person who needs to make a lot of money now because what's going to be in the future? If he's not healthy in the future, he won't be able to work. How's he going to run in the future? Rabbi says, so take care of your health. Do whatever it takes to take care of your health. That's more important. Like this, you'll be able to have money in the future. And Ramer still fits with the mission of us, and he's just simply saying that what is true Ashiris? True Ashiris is being happy with what one has, and therefore he's just giving the ultimate taich, not speaking to any specific person, type of person, any specific type of concern, just a general taich in Ashiris. Okay, Tanya. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Eimer. Eimad Likim Tzari. Back to our sugyas of what you light light with. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, one is not allowed light with Tzari. Tzari the taich says, balls of oil. My time or why not? Amarabba, so it's very interesting. Amarabba here are going to give two reasons why we cannot light with Tzari. The Gemara lady is going to bring a price that brings a third reason. Amarabba, Matech Shereicha, Naidif, because its smell is really good, it has a beautiful smell. Gezeri Shebi Stap Menu. On Shabbos, what are you going to do? You're going to take some of the oil out and rub it and put it on yourself because of the smell is really nice. And what are you doing essentially? You're being Mechaba. We've been focused till now about tilting the oil to the Ner, which is an Isser of Havara. There's a concern in the opposite way as well. If you're going to take out oil from a Ner, that would be a form of Mechaba. You're taking out oil from that was going to the wick, fuel for the fire. That would be Mechaba. And therefore, one cannot use Sari on Shabbos. That's Rabba's Taich. Amalei Abayis, Abayis Sabak, Top of Chavav Amud Aleph. To Rabba, Lema Mar Meshu Af. Why are you saying the reason why you can't use Sari is because you're going to utilize, you're going to take some of the oil potentially? Why don't you say because it's flammable? Something which is flammable, and we'll see later, something that's flammable is dangerous. Rashi says, it can catch on to the walls of the house and light fire to the house, and taste is elaborate, and therefore the person, because he's going to be concerned about this, therefore he's going to come to Mechaba, he's going to come to put out the fire. So it's funny, not just because it's dangerous, but because it's potentially dangerous, therefore he's going to come to put out a fire on Shabbos, and the issue again of kibui. So Abayi is not saying a different reason than Rabba. He's also saying kibui, but Rabba is saying it's kibui because you're going to take some of the oil out for its benefit, whereas Abayi is saying it's a chashash for kibui because you're going to be concerned about it being flammable and catching fire to the walls, and therefore you're going to put out the fire. So you're going to put out you're going to mechab the nair. Chada va'id kamar simar answers Rabba on behalf of Rabba. You're right. Chada va'id kamar chad mishu. First of all, it is flammable, like Abaya says. Va'id gezeri shem misabik menu. First of all, it's flammable, like Abaya says, and furthermore, because maybe you'll take some, even if it wouldn't be flammable, maybe you're going to try to benefit from the oil, and therefore it is a concern. So, a few things. First of all, this din that Suri, because it's good smelling, and someone may take some oil out and use it, Maritzchia says, even though we've kind of fallen off, we're not focused on Chanukah anymore, we have to still keep trying to apply and see if that which we're saying is good for Shabbos is good for Chanukah or vice versa or not. So Maritzchia wants to say that this Suri would not be good for Chanukah as well, because the Chanukah, we say, you're not supposed to benefit from the Ner. Once you designate it for Ner Chanukah, it's Huxlum Mitzvah. And if you have this concern that when a person has this Suri oil, he's going to take some out to use for himself, L'chair, we shouldn't use it for Chanukah as well. So it's not just by Shabbos, that they would apply to Chanukah as well. As I like the Maritzchia, idea number one. Number two is, if you look at the top Tesis has a bomb kasha. If we're concerned that something which is flammable, a person is going to be nervous and he's going to put out the fire on Shabbos, it's a danger because it's flammable. So why are you telling me that you can't use it on Shabbos? The Gemara later on is going to talk about naft, the naft lovan, another type of oil that comes from that white earth that is flammable. And the Gemara says you can't use it even b'chol. Something which is danger, poses a danger of being flammable, I can't use it not only on Shabbos, I can't use it during the week either because it's dangerous. So why over here are we saying specifically by this Suri that because it's dangerous, it's flammable, I can't use it on Shabbos, I shouldn't be able to use it in the week? Tesis leaves it as a question. Tesis bleibt schwer. So when I was learning yesterday with Kanner, he put forth a very interesting svara. He said that there's a concept that by mitzvahs, there's more of a concern for the remote possibility of something negative happening over day-to-day life. Meaning during chayil, we're not doing for a mitzvah, we're not so concerned. Why? Because the odds are very, very slight that it'll lead to being a fire. When it comes to Shabbos, Friday night lech, which is a mitzvah, when it comes to mitzvah, we're concerned. And he said, we find this idea by mor and chareses, right? We have to dip the mor and chareses, halacha does this, coming up on Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch does. Why? Because it could lead to a danger. If you don't dip in the chareses, it could be very harmful for the person. Leaning on one's left side, again, on Pesach. There's a specific din that a person should lean on the left side, not on the right side, because Shemi, the yaktim kan leveshen, maybe he's going to choke. But why all of a sudden are these issues spoken out specifically by the Seder, by the din of Mara, din of Chareses? All of a sudden we have these special dinim about being extra protective. So he said, he didn't just said it on his own. He said, because there's an idea that when it comes to mitzvahs, you could say it's more of a kitchrig, a yetzahara. It's more simple. If something on that remote possibility that chalila, something bad does happen, it's a major chil Hashem. It's a much bigger chil Hashem if something bad happens via an act of a mitzvah. And therefore, even though it's a very remote possibility, we're extra careful. But during the week, when it's chayil, when it's not a derech mitzvah, it's really not a concern. Something's not really a concern. We're not going to be crazily, overly cautious of something that's not really a concern. Lamaisa, this is when I was learning with him yesterday. Afterwards, I found in the Chashuk Chemek, he brings mamish word for word the same idea from the Sefer Leket Yesher. The Chashuk Chemek was discussing in general, is a person allowed to use, let's say, it's very interesting, the people are talking about today with this virus going around, everyone's very into Purell, and people are talking about how Purell could be flammable, you should be careful. I don't know if it's true or not, I saw some experiments, again, you never know if these experiments that you watch are true, but they're talking about being very flammable. The Chashuk Chemek actually discussed this with Zilberstein a while ago, before any of this unfortunate situation came upon us. The person who's using ointment, a lot of ointments, when you put it in their hands, they say, be careful, they could be flammable. The person who's using flammable ointment, is he allowed to light the Chanukah lech? Does he have to be specifically careful not to be lighting Chanukah lech because he's coming close to the fire? That's his discussion. So he brings from this safe Leket Yesher, who says exactly this idea, that we find the concept specifically when it comes to mitzvahs, even something that would not normally be a concern, we're concerned, and he says exactly the reason Rabbi Kanner says, because by a mitzvah, if something bad comes out, the ramifications are much worse, it's Chil Hashem. So even something which is really a remote chash will be chashash by a mitzvah. So it comes to answer Taisis Kash. Taisis Kash was, why are we nervous by Uf? Why are we nervous on Shabbos that you're going to, it's flammable, this tzari, you can't light it, you shouldn't be able to use it during the week either? The answer is no. Really, this tzari is not that flammable, that is a real, real concern for fire, but it's a remote possibility. Even a remote possibility, when it comes to a mitzvah, we're extra careful because we don't want chalila from a mitzvah to come out, a takala, to come out, which would be a chil Hashem. Okay, now he said,
there's a good reason why you should shut down the shuls for coronavirus.
Yes, I'm sorry. Actually, Rabbi Kanner spoke that out very good, Leon. Rabbi Kanner actually spoke out when we were discussing this. He said, you know, people are debating if he's still, his words were, we're still going to groceries, people are still doing other business activities, so why are we so fast to shut the shuls? There can be many reasons given, because shuls are, you congregate in closer proximity and you're there for a while, and also setting a message. But he said, but maybe the best answer would be, exactly to your point, he said this, the best answer to why to close the shuls first is because if people are going to catch it through a shul, they're catching a virus through a mitzvah, through a davar ruchni, and that's a bigger chilul Hashem, and maybe that'll be a reason to be more makbid when it comes to closing shuls, even though people are not, again, it should be also simple to be makbid everywhere else as well, of course. But the point is, maybe that'll be a reason why that people say this. First thing, he closes the shul, and the answer perhaps could be yes. When it comes to mitzvahs, mitzvahs can lead to kala. Very good. He actually made that exact point. Now, on Chadav Eid Kamar, Tesis points out that the Gemara later on says, the Gemara later on brings it a whole different reason. We mentioned this before we saw the Gemara. We have two Amaram over here that are saying, why can't you use Sari? Either, both are saying an extent of kiboy, Rabbah and Abaye. Rabbah is saying because of kiboy, because you may use some of the nair, some of the oil, because you like the way it smells. And Abaye is saying because you may put out the fire, because you're scared it's going to be flammable. The Gemara later on is going to say that it doesn't, it's Eina Nimshach Achar Psila, second Taisus on the page, short Taisus. The Gemara is going to quote later on that it's a tsari is not an oil that is Nimshach after Psila. We said it's a very basic idea. Why? Most of the oils in the Mishnah were no good. The oils were no good because they're not drawn into the wick, and you're going to do Shemayata. So if the Gemara gives brings it from a Brisa, from a Tana, a reason of Shemayata, a reason of Inyan Nimshach, why on earth are Abaye and Rabbah coming up with new reasons why Tzari is no good? Tosfos again leaves us as a Kasha, it's a very stark Kasha. Mahutzrich Livdais Hatam Medaitai. Why do these Amarim have to come up with a new reason? The Gemara brings a Brisa, brings a reason. Ur Samech says a beautiful Chav. That perhaps Abaye and Rabbah giving another reason because the reason the Gemara brings later would not affect Yom Tov. Remember, Shema Yate, which means maybe you're going to tilt the oil to the Nair, which is going to cause an idea of helping you with Havara, is not a concern on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you can't make a new fire, but to help a fire that exists continue, or to make a fire larger, that you could do. You're allowed to make a fire larger. So Shema Yate on Yom Tov is not a concern. Shema Yichabe on Yom Tov, again, coming up in a week from now, Allah is on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to turn off a fire. You're not allowed to be mechabe fire. You're allowed to increase a fire, or bring a fire from one place to another, to add to a new place. But you can't take away a fire. Abaye and Rav's reasoning for not using tsari, that you may lead to mechabe, would be a reason that you can't use tsari for Yom Tov Lecht either. Not only can't use it for Shabbos, you can't use it for Yom Tov either. So says the Ur Sameach and Echanami, for Shabbos purposes, the Amaram did not need a new reason. But the reason that they're adding would make a huge nafkamina why you can't use it on Yom Tov as well. Okay. Zok Demar, Hut Chamasa, a little bit of a...
Wait till now to ask this question. You should have asked it right away, at the beginning.
By Rabbah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I guess Tosfos waited to see both reasons for the Amaram and then ask the Kasha. I hear. He could have asked the second the Gemara starts off, and Rabbah says, when the Gemara says, my taima, he could have asked right away, why are you looking for Amaram? There's going to be a brayse later on. Or why did Amaram not quote that brayse later on? Okay. There was a mother-in-law who despised her daughter-in-law. We know that one of the five relationships between women that are not trustworthy, the halacha is that even a woman's nemen to say about another woman's husband that he died, in order to be mater, as he shouldn't be considered an aguna, because the assumption is that, of course, the woman's has the other woman's best interest in mind. She's not going to put her into a matzav on purpose to mess her up, except for five women, that there's certain competition, jealousy. One of them is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. There's a little of a contentious relationship. The mother-in-law's contentious relationship with the daughter-in-law, the Gemara explains elsewhere, is because the mother-in-law feels like she spent all that time raising her son, and now her son is busy doting on his wife. He's busy doting on his wife instead of doting on her. That's the very base, very bare understanding of why there is a natural sense of potential animosity between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. This Gemara takes it to the extreme. Amar-in-law, so this mother-in-law did not like a daughter-in-law. Amar-in-law says to the daughter-in-law, Zil iskasha mishcha de aparasma. Come, let's put on some, this balsam oil, which we know we just said is flammable. Come put on this balsam oil to make ourselves adorn ourselves with it. Azla Ishka, the daughter-in-law went and listened to the mother-in-law's advice. Ki asa amrla zilai sisharga. Then when the daughter-in-law came back, she said, now come bring me that big lamp, bring me that big torch. Azla sisharga, she went to get the torch, and of course, since she was all filled up with this flammable oil, infach banura v'chalta, the fire jumped out off the torch onto the daughter-in-law, and the Lashon Gemara would say, v'chalta, it consumed her, it ate up the daughter-in-law. Sounds like a very wild story where the daughter-in-law was taken over by this fire. Okay, the Gemara is just bringing out the point that this tsari is very flammable. Umedalos aretz hishir nevizadron rav tavachel kramel gavim. The pasuk says, we're bringing this pasuk because again, it's going to be an allusion in the pasuk to this tsari, to this balsam oil. Nevuchadnezzar, the head of the executioners, the chief executioner, he left over the poorest people to be the kormin and the yegvim. What does that mean? Kurman Tani of Yosef says, Elam Lakte Afarsaman Ma'in Gedi Vad Ramasa. The Kurman, those ones that gather the Bozum, they gather the Afarsaman. Afarsaman is the Tsari, is the Bozum, from Ein Gedi to Ramasa. And Yegvim, what are those? Elat Sadi Chalazim, Mislamamas, Shaltsur Vat Chaifa. Those ones that capture the Chalazim from the Mediterranean, from the heights of Tsur, all the Tuchaifa, the people busy gathering the Chalazim. There's a discussion about how the Chalazim was used. Was it the blood of the Chalazim? They used to crack open the Chalazim in order to get its liquid, in order to get its dye. The discussion of whether the Chalazim is a fish or something else, if it's a fish, cracking it open doesn't sound like the right nusach. Okay, it's a separate discussion of the Chalazim. Tad Rabbanim. One is not let it light. We've been discussing burning truma tamea and benefiting. We brought yesterday a couple of sources that truma tamea, one could benefit from the burning from the fuel as it burns. So now the Gemara describes, what about tevel tamei? So one cannot light tevel tamei on fire during the weekend benefit, and certainly can't use it to light for the Shabbos lecht. Similarly, a person cannot use nefet love, that's the white nefet b'chol. Why is that? That's what we spoke up for Tosfos. That's a case of danger. It's because it's dangerous. You can't use it even b'chol, and certainly can't use it in Shabbos. So the Brizer's point, yeah, things which I can't light during the week, I certainly can't use for my Shabbos lecht. The things that I could use during the week, but I can't use for Shabbos lecht, but something which I can't use during the week, certainly I can't use for Shabbos lecht. Says the Marbishlam nefet lovin, meshu af. I understand that Nefilovin, the white nefet, we understand that that's flammable, like we spoke up before from Tesfis, and therefore I can't use it during the week, and I certainly can't use it on Shabbos. Aval tevel tamei my time. Why can't I burn tevel tamei and utilize the benefit from the fuel, from the flame? Amar krav aninei satelcha es b'shmeres b'shumaisai. I gave you b'shmeres b'shumaisai b'sheit shumas kasmatav. The same direction we spoke just the other day. I think it was just yesterday. Achas truma tayra v'achas truma tamei. The pasuk is talking about two trumas, truma tayra and truma tamei. And what are we saying? Ma truma tayra ein lecha bai. Now this part we didn't say yesterday. Ein lecha ba el m'shas haram ve'elach. Yesterday we darshan the lashon of lecha, right? Anina sati lecha, I gave to you. We darshan that there's two chumas over there in the pasuk, and I gave to you. We darshan both chumatayra and chumatameya. The kain can benefit. It was given lecha to you, which means when you burn chumatameya, you can benefit from the fuel, from the fire, from the oil. You let it benefit. That was the drash we had yesterday. One of the sources that you can benefit from chumatameya. Now we're taking that same pasuk further and saying davka once you took truma. But just like by tar, it's called man's tevel. No, you're not allowed to benefit. No one can benefit until you take truma. So too by truma tamei, tevel tamei, one cannot benefit. Only when it's actually truma tamei can he benefit. While tevel tamei, he cannot benefit until the truma is taken. There's a famous chakira from Yosef Engel. Yosef Engel has a debate. What is tevel? Is tevel a mixture of truma and, very good, Yassel, is tevel a mixture of truma and chula mixed together? Right, you just haven't separated yet, which would be not so simple. It would have to come out that the issur of tevel would have to mimic the punishments. Shouldn't lechayr be mimicking the punishments or the averas of eating truma? Is it a mixture of truma and chulin, or no? It's a new separate issur of tevel. That's a famous clarity. I'm sure others clear it as well. Rabbi Yosef Engel makes the clear. He then debates the third possibility. Maybe truma itself is a continuation. If you say tevel is a new issur again. If you say tevel is a combination of truma and chulin just mixed together. That's one side. Or no, tevel's a new isser. If tevel's a new isser, not truma, maybe you go the other way. Maybe truma is an extension of the isser tevel never coming off. When you have tevel, tevel's usser. And then when you take truma, that which you took truma from, the rest of it becomes chulin. And the truma somehow is a morphing of the isser tevel into truma, or not, or it's completely separate entities. There's truma, there's tevel, and then there's the chulin. Different debate, nafkaminas come out from this, from the shailos. Okay. When we said in our memory before, just to point out Kuk Taisvis, that Rashi says in the words, Eim adlikim betevel tamei b'choyel, you can't use tevel tamei, you can't use tevel tamei b'choyel. Rashi says, and kol shekein, Rashi says, kol shekein tevel tar. You'd have a havmina tevel tamei. The sitting Rashi is very simple. You'd have a havmina tevel tamei, which is being burnt anyway, has no usage, so you could benefit from the fuel just by burning it, even though it's tevel. You didn't take too much rice, you could benefit. Kol shekein tevel, and we're saying you cannot. So kol shekein tevel tar, you can't benefit because you never took off chumas and maises. Tosfos doesn't like the kol shekein. Tosfos says, I'm not sure where Rashi gets the kol shekein from. He's masking to Rashi in concept that's hu adin. The din is lav dafka tevel tamei. One cannot burn even tevel tar a benefit, but he says not a kol shekein. It's hu adin. Just like I can't benefit from tevel tamei, I can't benefit from tevel tar either. The idea is because anav kiloi by tevel specific is an issue. Using up tevel. And benefiting, that's the problem, whether it's tamei or tar. The point the Farsha bring, and what comes out of this conversation, Rashi, is that one of the points that come out is, if a person is benefiting from tevel, without using it up, that's not a problem. So for example, let's say I have tevel and I want to use it as a paperweight. If I have tevel and I want to use it as a paperweight, I'm not eating it, I'm not using it up, that's not a problem. There's no isser hanah on tevel. If I'm using it just for paperweight purposes, that's fine. It's specifically when you're using it up, you're supposed to be separating shuras and maizers and giving shuras and maizers to the kain and levi respectively. So using it up without taking shuras and maizers, that's the problem of tevel. But if I'm just using it for stam hanah as a paperweight but not using it up, that would not be an issue. And today says that the discussion whether or not I could use it up and burn it and benefit, which we're saying applies by tame, applies equally by tar, not more so, not a koshkin. Today doesn't agree Rashi's koshkin. Okay, so that's gemara.
What is tevel? Is it for maizer? What is tevel?
Tevel is anything that you haven't taken off the trumas and meiser. So there's actually a case where you took off truma, but you didn't take off meiser, would also be tevel. And even a case where you have meiser, if you remember, we had it earlier, if you have meiser, you gave right to Levi, the Levi has a chiv to take trumas meiser, he has to take a 10%, sorry. Yes, that's correct. The Levi right is a chiv to take trumas meiser on his truma, he has to give 10% of the kain as well, which we've always pointed out, that besides for the other stuff kain gets, it's not the pshat Levi gets 10%, and assuming you're giving the kain in a regular fashion, a kain is getting 2%, actually the Levi then goes and gives a tenth of his to the kain, so the kain is actually ending up with 3%, and the Levi is with 9%. Just,
but yesterday we learned differences between meiser and truma, and remember me, I'd ask you a question. Meiser is tougher than truma. Truma trade for the truma tomato, we should be having a no. Not for meiser. How does the Gemara make a comparison from tevel to truma? There's meiser involved here. It's a whole different set of laws.
Very good.
At the end, talks about that.
Very good. Very good point, Yossel. What you're bringing up really taps into Rav Engel's question. That's what you're maybe.
Very confusing. Yeah.
No, Rav Yosef Engel's question was: is tevel an isser, a new isser, or is it an isser comprised of the stuff that you haven't taken out of it? We are focused on truma. You're adding, why are you focused on truma? Meiser Sheni also.
Meiser.
We focus, just to be clear, it was Meiser Sheni. It is Meiser Sheni, not Meiser Rishon. We focus on Meiser Sheni. But the point, but you're correct. You're absolutely correct. If tevel is a combination of whatever is inside it, meaning the Isser of Tevel is not a unique Isser of Tevel. It's because it's Truma mixed in, it's Meiser Sheni mixed in. So Yossel's asking a bomb question. Yesterday we specifically spoke out, when you burn Truma Tamea, you could benefit. When you burn Kachem Tame, you can't benefit. When you burn Meiser Sheni Tame, you can't benefit. So we see, at least the guy burning Meiser Sheni Tame is more Chamer than Truma. So what was the Gemara? He's just bothered. What's the Gemara that's debating to compare Tevel to Truma? If you understand that tevel is the isser of what's comprised, what's inside it, if Meiser Sheni is one of the items that's inside it, Meiser Sheni is more chamer than truma. So why would I say that tevel tame should have the din of truma in the first place? Why wouldn't I say that it should be restricted to the same hagdaris of Meiser Sheni? That again, that's literally part of the clair, that fits into that clair of a pervasive angle, but a very good point. A very good point. Liza, you want to say something? You're off. You're on mute, Liza. You're on mute.
What makes it so partial that the mice wasn't taken? This tevel could just be tevel agabe truma.
The word tevel, it could be just of truma, but tevel can mean tevel of everything. It can be everything. Enachami. If we're talking about tevel just from truma, then Yossel's question wouldn't have to get into the debate of Rabbi Svengel. Then the question wouldn't apply. Enachami.
Why can't we burn it in the choyl? It has to be tevel of the miser. Why can't we burn emad likim et tevel tome b'choyl?
No, because you can't benefit. That's the issue of benefit. You can't.
But from truma, you could benefit.
Correct.
So then it doesn't make sense.
No, that's mamish the shayla. Okay, we'll have to discuss afterwards. That's what we're saying for base of angle. That's mamish the shayla. Is tevel because it's truma mixed in, or is it a new isser of tevel? That's mamish the shayla. Okay, gufa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, Eimer Likim Tzari, we cannot light with, we're going to have a whole bunch of brises. This is really in addition to what we've learned early in the brisa, and the whole thing is really addition to our Mishnah. But it's addition to what we learned in the Braisa about using Tzari. We're going to have a whole bunch of Tanaim here, 6 or 7 Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Eimer, Eimer Likim Tzari, one cannot use Tzari, the balls of oil, for Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Eimer, Tzari Einel Asraf Matzei Katov. We say this in the Pitei Keteres, right? Tzari Einel Asraf Matzei Katov. Tzari is not itself from the fruit. Tzari is the sap of the tree. Rabbi Shmuel says whatever comes out of the tree, one cannot light with, meaning like the sap. It's and the concern is again, it's not easily drawn to the, it's not nimshach achar psila. And this is the going. Our Gemara doesn't spell it out for us, but this is where Taisus asked the kasha from before. Since our Gemara is being tanayim, that I'm saying that this sap is not really part of the fruit of the tree. It's not part of the fruit. It's sap which does not draw easily to the wick. The Gemara doesn't spell those words out, but since that's the concern, why before did Abayan Rabbah Abba bring a new reason of Shemi Chabe, the reason should be because of this reason, like the Tanan bring. Or Shlomo Mrecha Emer, he says, we can only light something that is extracted from a fruit. The first one explained that Rabbi Shmuel Ben Breka was coming to exclude even the insides of fish, Itron, and Sari. It's Rashi speaks it out for us. He's coming to exclude those cases as well. Those are also can't be used. Dafka, something from extracted from a fruit. Only Shemin Zayas Bavad that we had in the Mishnah as well. Dafka Shemin Zayas. Amar Bechem Menuri Al Raglov. For Bechem, he got up on his feet. For Amar, and he said, Ma Yasu Anshi Bavel, you tell me only Shemin Zayas? What are the people Bavel going to do? They don't have Shein Lamel Shemin. They don't have this Shemin Zaisim. They don't have olive trees over there. They only have Shemin Shemin sesame oil. What other people are they going to do? Shemin Shemin Gaisim. They only have nut oil. What other people Alexandria of Egypt going to do? Shemin Shemin Zaisim. They only have radish oil. What other people Kaputki going to do? Shemin Lem Lekach Lekach. Eleneft. They only have nafta. They only have that oil. That's only all they have. Ella, ain lecha, ella masha, amrcha, ma'emadlikim. The only things you cannot use, or the Chum say you can't use. Remember, the Chum in our Mishnah, the Chum actually himself said that in our Mishnah, they quoted that all these things are good. We pointed out that they agree Shem Zayis is the best, but we pointed out, but the Chum say all these things are good. What is no good? Only things that we said in the first Mishnah, the Chum said that one cannot use. Those are the only things he can't use. Ben Yehuda has a beautiful diak. Ami, this is your, the Ben Yada, he says, what's Amad Rabbi Yechon al Raglav? What does it mean? He got up on his feet. So he says, because it's very specific, Lamar's using a very specific Lashon. You don't make a Gezerah that is the Efsha that the Eilim can't keep. A Gezerah that won't be Aymed, won't be able to stand on its own, is a pointless Gezerah. If you can make a Gezerah that you have to use Shem Azayas, and in most cities, or many cities, not like Shem Azayas, what type of Gezerah are you making? So the Mar specifically used the terminology, he stood up on his feet to demonstrate, you need to make a Gezerah that could stand, a Gezerah that people that won't be able to stand is no point, and therefore don't tell me at the Takana that the idea of lighting with Shabbos is with Shemin, Dafka Shemin Zayis. Okay, so like the Brice of Eiter, Reb Shimon, I think I skipped, Umadlikin, B'Shemin Dug of Itrin, you could also use the Shemin that's extracted from fish and from Itrin oil, that's the Chum again, same as the Chum in Rechem Nuri, is similar to Chum in Mishnah, to Matir, all these different things. Reb Shimon Shizuri Amar, Madlikin B'Shem Pekus V'Naif, Shimon Shizuri says, one is allowed to light with Shemin Pukias, but you said this type of oil that comes from like a squash, a gourd, or a naftic use as well. Sumchas, that which it comes out of flesh, you cannot use. Ella b'shemen dagim, except shemen dagim, you can only use fish oil. But anything which from that's taken out from the flesh, it's extracted from the flesh, cannot be used. Shemen dagim can be used. There's actually a discussion. What exactly shemen dagim is? Shemen dagim literally fish that you take out of oil? Someone explained that shemen dagim does not mean fish that you take out of oil, but rather shemen. Taisus points out that shemen dagim could be. We have the gemaras of Barbasra. These are by Agad the gemaras of Guzma. Of how big these fish were in the I think it's the fifth parak over there. It discusses that from the oil that was in the eye of the fish, they were able to have oil for 300 cities, whatever the guzm over there was. But the description is an oil from the eye of a fish. So it says it may not be extracting an oil from the fish itself, it may be extracting oil from the eye of the fish. That's what Shabbat Dunga mean. Okay, but says the Gemara Simchus was saying that you can use fish oil, but not when you break down the fish and create oil. That's not that you can't use. But oil from the fish oil itself, that is good, whatever that fish oil is, whether it's from the eye or some other direct oil derived from the fish, that is good. It says there are Simchas Tanakamas. Simchas Tanakama. Now if you were doing math, I think there were about seven Tanakamas before Simchas. Which Tanakam is referring to? So the first explanation is referring to Rabbi Yechanan Ben Uri. Simchas fits like Yechanan Uri, which is like the main sheet that we said fits like the Chaman Mishnah that allows fish oil. So what's the difference between Yechanan Uri and Simchas? Says the Gemara, the same answer we had yesterday before the Mishnah on Chav Hamabez, Ika Benayo, I'm sorry, or Chav Dalamabez, Ika Benayo, Derev Brain Amarav. The difference is, Rabbeinu Rav, Lema Saimi, again, Rabbeinu Rav was one that says that when I have an oil, it's no good. If I mix in a little bit of a good oil, that makes it okay. So we're going to say that Machlaik is Bech Manuri, and Simchas is whether I can take one of these oils that are no good and mix in a little bit of a good oil and salvage it and make it okay, make it useful. One of them holds you can, one of them holds you cannot. And Lema Saimi, again, we don't know who says what. Normally, we go based on the Lush and we say that the first opinion is being Machmer, the second is being more machmer. Over here in our case, there's no clear indication who's being more machmer, and therefore the lashon of Rabbi Yechon Muri was ain lach ella mashav chamim. We only have what chamim say ain madlikim. Only that is no good. Sounds like maybe he's being more makel, and therefore we don't want to go with the general call. The first one's being more machmer, and the second one's being more makel, because over here it sounds like the first one already is being more makel. Okay, now we're going to get into a whole conversation. Really. Almost unrelated to our sugya, but once we start speaking about that which comes out of the tree, we get into a whole conversation about the shear of begadim. We're not going to finish today, but we'll go through it rather quickly. It's a conversation, what's the sheer beged at the nafkamina? Of course, the most basic nafkamina is the gabe tumas tsaras, the gabe other tumas. What's the sheer beged that's susceptible to tumah? Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar says, "Kol yetzim eitz, anything which is extracted from a tree or from a plant, ein bay mishum shalosh shalosh. It doesn't have a din of shalosh shalosh, meaning three finger breaths by three finger breaths for tumah. And therefore, we know any beged, any material that's extracted that's extracted from a plant or from a tree which is not susceptible for tumah could yes be used umasachem bay. That material could be used for schach. You're not only using dama kabel tumah for schach, like a beged or something can be used for schach, but something which is not dama kabel tumah can yes be used for schach. Chutz, but there's one exception, that which goes to the ground and can still be put into a beged and be mekabel tumah. And what's that? Chutz mepishtan flax, which is another word for that is linen. Flax can be created into linen, and that would have a din of tumah. Amar Abai. So Abai says top of a maze. Rav Shimon Elazar v'tanu d'Bishmol. Amar Davayachad. Rav Shimon Elazar and Tanu d'Bishmol both said the same din. Rav Shimon Elazar Adamar. Rav Shimon Elazar, that which we just said, the memory we just quoted in the bottom of Amar Aleph. Tanu d'Bishmol Ma'i. What's the connection? The Tanu d'Bishmol. Tanu d'Bishmol. It was taught in the Bismedesh of Bishmol. Ha'il v'nemar begadim b'tayra stam. The pasuk says the word begadim b'tayra stam without specifying what the begadim is referring to. Upar l'chol kasu bechamem. In one place the Torah specifies. You know when it says the word begadim, it says semer pishtim. So the Torah generally just references begadim, and then one place it specifies what begadim, semer pishtim, woolen linen, malal and semer pishtim, afkal semer pishtim. So we learn from there that when it talks about begadim in general, it's got to be dafka semer and pishtim. Semer pishtim are considered begadim, but other types of materials that you fashion to begadim are not called a begadim. By the way, a big enough community, one classic, we'll speak halach lemaisa, is the case of ar. The halach is ar. Hide, leather, will not need tzitzis. It's not considered even though it has other dinim, maybe it's a kapal tumah, it does have other dinim, so I shouldn't say it's fully excluded from our Gemara, but legabe tzitzis, only something which is woven, something where you take different threads and you weave it, davar hanerag, is considered a beged, legabe having a chiv tzitzis. Something which is not a davar hanerag, something which is not woven, will not have a chiv tzitzis. So a four-cornered leather beged will not be considered a beged for these purposes of the din of putting tzitzis on the corner of our beged. Okay, Rav Amar Rav says, shleisha shleisha b'shar. So Abaya was saying there, Rav Shimon Elazar and Tanu b'Shmuel are agreeing to the same idea that Pishtim is the exception. Pishtim, which grows from the ground, is taka beged, but anything else that grows from the ground will not have a din. Comes from eights, will not have a din of beged, and that's a wool is a beged, and Pishtim is a beged, but not the nothing else. And Tanu b'Shmuel seems to be saying the same thing. Says Rava, but there's nafkamina between them. You don't see it in this machlokes, but there's a big nafkamina. The shear of 3x3. Now, we've been speaking till now about 3x3 finger breaths. That's a very small shear. It's like a tiny little patch. There's also a bigger shear of 3x3 tvachim, 3 hand breaths by 3 hand breaths. That's a much bigger shear. Says Rava, that's where you have nafkamina. Shoshal, shoshal, b'shar, b'gad, b'kvinayo. Reb Shimon Elazar islay. Reb Shimon Elazar holds that by other materials, even if they wouldn't be a begin, when the 3 fingers by 3 fingers, when the 3 hand breaths by 3 hand breaths, that makes it more chashiv, and that would be susceptible for tumah when it's that larger size. That's according to Tanu b'Shmuel. That's according to Rav Shimon Elazar. Tanu b'Shmuel, lastly, but according to Tanu b'Shmuel, according to Rava, Rava says Tanu b'Shmuel would hold even 3 handbets by 3 handbets would not be a beged by these other materials other than semer, other than wool or pishtin. Dafka semer pishtin like idarshins from the pasuk. Okay, says the word. Everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that shalosh shalosh b'tzemer pishtim etam b'gam. Everyone agrees that 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths. Again, shalosh shalosh without the hay is finger breaths. Shleisha shleisha is tvachim. Everyone agrees that 3 by 3 finger breaths by 7 pishtim is etam b'gadim. Menolan, what's the source? The Tanya beged the pasuk beged. Ain't in the beged. I only know that a beged is subject to tumas nega. Shalosh shalosh b'nai. How you know even a small patch? 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths. Tamalema. How do we know that's also going to be subject to tumah? Tamalema v'ha beged. And the first should point out that even those that normally don't darshan vav this author. Normally does dashin vav, but vav hey veha beged can dashin vehei to tell me to come to marba even a smaller size beged. But who cares? Who told you that veha beged? It doesn't tell me a shear. Who told you the veha beged is coming to include? I just said I think a major chab. Who told you the veha beged is coming to include 3 fingers by 3 fingers? Maybe it's coming to include 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. So veim the rabbis. Actually, I'll leave it. I'm just vav hey. No, it's a mistake. Okay, maybe it's coming to include 3 hand breaths, 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. Who told you the 3 by 3 is 3 fingers by 3 fingers? Says Gemara, lav kavachaymer, it's kavachaymer. Hashta shesi ve'erv v'tama. We know when you're sewing and weaving, the shesi of the erv alone are subject to tumah. So shleisha shleisha by a beged that's 3 hand breaths by 3 hand breaths, about a foot square. That's a real beged. Of course, that's makabat tumah, a regular beged. If just the shesi or just the erv is subject to tumah, so certainly a beged that's 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim is subject to tumah. So I don't need a drusha for that. And therefore, the beged of the beged of the patch of 3 fingers by 3 fingers must be, that's the riboy of ha-beged. Ask Gemara, Yachi, Shoshami, Leis Mechachayim. 1 second, if you make Kavachayim, is that a beged is better than just one side of the weaving, the Shasi or the Erev, so maybe even 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Also make Kavachayim, and I invite you, don't need a pasuk b'chlal. Says Gemara, Ella, Shlesha, Shlesha, 3 handbats by 3 handbats, we can stop in 1 minute for davening. Shlesha, Shlesha, Dechazu, Bein Lashir, Bein Laniyim. So here's the shaila in the girsa. Our girsa is us with kavachemer, but the Rishonim point out you don't even need kavachemer. 3 handbreadths by 3 handbreadths, which is a beged that's a large enough size to fit both aniyim and ashirim. That we're saying now, lashi, you get from a kavachemer of shesi and erev. And the first point out lavdafka, you don't even need a kavachemer. It's pashan. That is mamish a beged. It could be used for aniyim. It could be used for ashirim. Therefore, that is certainly a beged. That is certainly going to have a status of Rela Kabotama. Shalosh HaShalosh, whereas 3 fingers by 3 fingers, La'anim hu dechazen, Nashim lechazen, that's only fit for Aniyim, that's not fit for Ashirim, and therefore Lo Yisib Kavachemer, therefore that won't be one of the Kavachemer to completely show me that just like Shasif Erev is subject to Tumma, this tiny beggar which only works for Aniyim as a patch, not for Ashirim, they wouldn't use it, therefore maybe even you can't even learn from Kavachemer, so therefore time of the Kasvei Kura, the reason why it's Tumma, subject to Tumma, is because you have a Pasuk, Halei Kasvei Kura, without a Pasuk like I mean Kavachemer, you will not learn it from Kavachemer. So the first begin to explain that really we're learning nothing from Kavachemer. A beggar that's 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim, you'd know Stamazay, it's good for Anim, good for Shirim, it's a beggar, it's Chashev, I don't have to come out to Kavachemer from the chest of Erev. And a beggar that's so small that's 3 fingers by 3 fingers, which is not fit for Hashim, they won't even look at it, they won't touch it, they won't use it, only Anim use it, that I can't learn from the Kavachemer chest of Erev, which could be used still by Ashirim, and therefore.
You'd have a problem with Sadaz, but Kavachemer turned because of
LaCroix. Yeah, I didn't see them, that's a good point, Liza. I didn't see the first one say that's why we're coming out when I use Kavachemer, and the Lashon Gemara actually does is mashma that for Shleisha, Shleisha, we are still using Kavachemer, but the way they explain it is we don't really need the Kavachemer for either, because for 3 fingers by 3 fingers, Kavachemer doesn't work, and for 3 handbreadths by 3 handbreadths, the Kavachemer isn't necessary. Maybe it's coming to include that shar by other begadim, other than semer pishtim, when it's 3 by 3 shleisha, 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, maybe over there it is included for tuma. Amar kara tzem begad semer pishtim, tzem begad semer pishtim in midachiri loy. There's a mid semer pishtim in other species, other types of materials. Not affect tomorrow. What do you mean? Let's make other materials only excluded when it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Maybe other begadim, other materials are excluded when it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Aval shleisha shleisha matame, but if it's 3 handbreadths by 3 handbreadths, it will still be tame. Answers the gemara chay mutik see this. 2 miutim, beged tzemer, oi beged pishtim, chadamute sholish, al sholish, chadamute, mishleish, al sholish. There's 2 miutim there. One is to exclude other materials from 3 fingers by 3 fingers, and one is to exclude other materials that has never been of susceptibility for tumma, even by 3 handbats, even by 3 tvachim. So we're left over now with the drasha to tell me that the beged tells me that 3 fingers by 3 fingers by wool and linen is going to be susceptible to tumma, and the kavachemer tells me that we said we don't really need the kavachemer to tell you, but 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim will also have tumma by semer and pishtim. We'll pick it up tomorrow from Rava's explanation.